We are in the last week of our four-week series called Be Wise, in which we've been looking at what the Bible has to say about wisdom. So we've been in it for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, do you feel any wiser in your life yet? Hopefully in these 3 weeks, we've learned some things from the Bible about wisdom. As sort of a recap, let me kind of summarize what we have been talking about for these 3 weeks. In week one, the main point of everything that we talked about was trust God. The way that the Bible puts it, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We looked at that verse many times, and what that means is that if we are going to be wise, if we are going to bring wisdom into our lives, then the first thing that we need to do is recognize that there is a God who created all things, a God who controls all things, a God who deserves our attention and our worship in all things. As we said before, the fear of the Lord is not being scared of God, but it is being aware of God in everything that we do. And not just aware in like, we know he's there, and every now and again, we bring him into our lives and we ask him for his advice, but aware of God in the sense that we trust him with everything. Meaning that whenever there's a situation in our life where God's word contradicts what we want to do, what we feel like doing, what we hope to do, we go with God in that. And trusting God means that we give God the final say in our life. That was week one. And then in week two, we learned that we need to be self-aware. This is the week where King Solomon, not Dusty, called you a fool, right? Proverbs says that the way of the fool is wise in his own eyes. We are the kind of people that tend to operate our lives based on how we see fit. We base our life on things like the way that we see it, what seems right to us. And besides that, we live in a world that says to follow your heart. We live in a world that tells us, hey, you do you. But we've all learned from our own experiences that when we look at our past regrets, some of our biggest mistakes, we've all learned that doing that might have been the problem. And we look back and see that what happened in our biggest regrets and our greatest mistakes was in that moment, we were sure that we were doing what seemed best to us in the moment. Frank Sinatra is famous for singing, I did it my way. But a lot of times in our life, when we do it our way, it doesn't work out so great, does it? In fact, it doesn't turn out very well at all. In fact, some of the reasons why we have regrets is because we did it our way. Guess who was involved in every bad decision that you have ever made? You were. And recognizing that about ourselves isn't intended to fill us with self-doubt. It's meant to make us more self-aware, to make us more aware that when we are facing tough decisions in our lives, that we are the kind of people who, when we operate how we see it, we're not seeing the whole picture. Maybe there's a situation in your life where you just don't know enough about. You're not knowledgeable enough. Maybe there's a situation in your life where you don't have enough experience. So you, to make that decision how you see it, that's not the wisest thing for you to do. In other areas of your life, maybe we are too close to the situation. That we're too emotionally invested in that part of our life, and our emotions are blinding us. So if we were to do what seems right to us in that moment, then we would be blinded by some of what's really happening. In that situation, we need somebody else's eyes to see what's going on. The point is, knowing what is really real about ourselves before we make a decision, that is wisdom. Week three last week was the third week in this series, and what we learned last week was that when it comes to the important decisions in our lives, what we really want is for God to tell us exactly what we need to do. What we really want is for God to tell us, hey, what am I supposed to do in this big decision in our life? But when we open up the Bible, what we find out instead is rather than telling us what to do, the Bible says more about who to be. We saw this in verses like this in Corinthians. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's not that God doesn't care about what we do, but it seems that God wants us to care about more than what we do. God wants us to care about who we are being. And this should be both challenging and freeing. Freeing in the fact that we don't have to live our lives thinking that one wrong move and our entire future is in jeopardy. Last week, we learned that when it comes to the important decisions in our life, remember we talked about this idea of our life being a maze. And when we look at our life like this, we think that every single part of our life has to be executed perfectly at every turn. And thinking that way makes us focus on all of the turns in our life. Every decision, we feel that God is waiting for us to make the right move so that we can execute this maze perfectly. Meanwhile, God is saying things like this: whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God is saying, whatever it is that you do, make sure that what you do, you are being somebody who is bringing glory to God while you're doing it. Do you see how that can be freeing? But not only freeing, this can also be challenging, because if we're doing everything for the glory of God, then that doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. Because what if what we want to do is not bringing glory to God? What if what we want to do is the opposite of bringing glory to God? Ending up in the news or in jail is not necessarily bringing glory to God, so maybe that was not the wise thing to do. Or maybe this verse challenges us to start thinking about our options differently. What if none of the decisions that are in front of you right now, what if none of them are bad? None of them are wrong, none of them are foolish, but one of them gives you more opportunity to bring God glory in your life. So you see how this question can have us thinking differently about the decisions that we make. And becoming the kind of person that brings glory to God in everything that they do, that is always the wise thing to do. So this is what we've been looking at about wisdom for the last couple of weeks so far. And this morning, we're going to look at some very practical ways that we can bring wisdom into our lives. But before we do that, I want to tell you about a couple of my outdoorsy friends. When I was in school, I had these two friends who were really outdoorsy type. Like, so outdoorsy that one of them slept in a tent in his room. Like, instead of crawling into bed at night, he crawled into a tent. If you know me, then you know this is not at all how I live my life. But living with these guys, twice a year, talked me into doing some of their outdoor adventures with them. And one time, this involved hiking. And not just any type of hiking, but 7 hours of hiking. But I didn't know that at first. In fact, they strategically didn't tell me a lot of the details about this hiking trip. Like, they didn't tell me until the night before that we needed to get on the trail before sunrise if we were going to make it back before sunset. In my opinion, you pick one, sunrise or sunset. Hiking doesn't need to have both of those, right? It's too late. We were committed, so we set out on this trail. And then for hours and hours and hours, all that we did was walk in a single file line on this narrow dirt trail through thick brush. Like, the woods were so thick that all you could really see was the trail in front of you. And so I thought, we drove all of this way for this, walking in the woods. So for hours, I just stared at my feet. Left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. After a couple of hours, we took a break. Then it was back. Left foot, right foot. Right when I felt like I couldn't take any more, we come to this clearing, like at the edge of a cliff. And there was this incredible waterfall that flowed into this pool between the rocks. And where we now were in elevation, we had a view above all of the mountains around us. It was breathtaking. It was one of those moments where I thought to myself, maybe this is why people do outdoorsy things. And while we were there, taking everything in, I had to sheepishly admit to my friends, hey, this was totally worth it. And they said, yeah, we know. That's why we didn't tell you about the hike. Because what my friends knew, that if they told me about the waterfall, I would be like, I'm in. But if they told me the only way that we can get there is by hiking 3 hours through the woods, I would say, I'm busy. But they knew that it was worth it. Every week in this series, we have been looking at this verse that says, get wisdom, though it costs you all you have, get understanding. The proverb says that wisdom is worth it in the end, no matter what it costs. And today, unlike my friends, I'm going to tell you guys in advance how we get there, how we bring wisdom into our life. We have to walk through the woods. And this idea of walking, it should come as no surprise. We've seen it in a lot of the verses we've been looking at about wisdom so far. In this verse in Ephesians that we've seen, it says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Walking in the Bible is a metaphor for how we live our lives. And this image is all over the place in Proverbs, speaking about our life and speaking about wisdom. In chapter 14, it says, the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. Chapter 4, we read, ponder the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be sure. Psalm 25 says, make me know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. And then Proverbs 3 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So when it comes to life, and when it comes to the pursuit of wisdom, the Bible likens it to walking on a path. A path that has a final destination that'll be worth it when you get there. But for a long while, it might feel like left foot, right foot, left foot, right foot. But one thing that we've learned about things, learned from things like hiking, we've also learned this from dieting and exercising and playing an instrument and learning a new language, is that these kind of things, they don't happen instantly. They take time. Usually small investments of time over long periods. Do you have any skills in your life? Took you a long time to acquire? Remember, the definition of wisdom that we've been using in this series says that wisdom is competence in regard to the realities and complexities of life. And as we've said, this word competence, it means being skilled. So wisdom is a skill. And like most skills, it requires small investments over long periods of time. The very next phrase in this verse in Ephesians, it makes a connection between wisdom and time. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time. So when it comes to our time, are we making the best use of it? Are we investing any of our time in becoming wise people? Are we doing the left foot, right foot sort of thing that wisdom requires? And we wonder, well, how do you do that? Well, what are the small investments that we need to make that are going to bring wisdom into our life over time? Well, there's a passage in Proverbs chapter 2 that gives us some insight. Proverbs chapter 2 says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. Now, isn't this last part right here what we've been going for in this talk for the last month? Isn't this what we want? We want our life to look more like this? So how do we get this? Well, the answer is in the first couple of verses. It says, my son, if you receive my words. Well, what words are we talking about here? We're talking about God's words. We're talking about the Bible. If wisdom is going to be produced in our lives, then it needs to begin with regular exposure to God's words. We need to, as the verse says, receive God's words into our lives, which begs an obvious question. Are we doing that? Have we set aside small amounts of time in our life to bring the Bible into our life? Have we done that? Maybe before we answer that, we need to understand why this is so important. In that same Ephesians passage, right after talking about time, the next phrase says this, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? The days are evil. The best explanation of this verse that I've heard goes like this. One pastor describes the times that we are living in right now like a current. You know when you go to the beach and you go out to play in the waves and you start out right in front of your towel and your umbrella and your chair. And then after you're out there playing for a while, you realize that your towel and your umbrella are now way over there. The current of the ocean has moved you away. And in the ocean, if you don't pay attention, it can take you very far away from where you started. You know, this happens at the beach. Well, the same is true in life. Life is a current. But life is not neutral. You are constantly being moved in some direction, whether you know it or not. Parents, understand this, because maybe your little angel repeated a word that they heard in the car. And now you watch every song that you play, every podcast that you listen to, every radio show that's on in the car, because you have some little sponges in the back seat. And you know that whatever enters their little ears is like a current that has the potential to move them in some way. Which is why now in your car, it's wheels on the bus on repeat, right? We recognize this in children, but for some reason, we don't think that this applies to ourselves. We don't think that we are being moved by what is happening around us. Think about this. There are 168 hours in a week. Maybe you work for 40 of those. And then maybe for argument's sake, let's say you are one of the lucky ones who gets 8 hours of sleep every night. That leaves 72 hours in your week. What are you doing with those hours? Remember a couple years ago when they came out with that thing on the iPhone that shows you how much you're using your phone? It tracks all the apps and how long you've owned that. Did you turn that thing off yet? Because I did. I don't really want to know how much time I'm spending on my phone. Besides the apps on our phone, think about some of the ways that we spend our time in a given week. I made a list. Here are some things. How much time do we spend reading books, reading articles? How much time do we spend scrolling Twitter trends, Instagram, Facebook posts? How much music do we listen to? Or podcasts do we consume? How much do we have the talk radio shows on in the car? How much time do we spend watching Netflix, watching sports, playing video games, watching news channels? Now, I'm not saying that any of this is wrong in any way. I spend my time doing the same exact things. But now I want us to think about how much time in a given week do we spend hearing from the Word of God in the Bible. Is it the same? But still, we convince ourselves that we will not be moved. Even though when it comes to our own life, even though when it comes to the current of influence that we are allowing into our life, even though the current that we've allowed to come into our life seems to be pulling us in directions other than the things of God, we still say, I will not be moved. Now, I'm not saying all this to give you a guilt trip. I'm saying this to give you a little bit of a guilt trip. But what I want us to see is that if we're really serious about becoming wise, if we really want the decision-making process in our life to change, if we really want to start honoring God with how we live, then, as this verse in Proverbs says, we need to receive God's words into our life. So, are we doing that? Have we made intentional plans to bring more of God's words into our lives? Last year, we started talking about this Dwell app. We got an account here at the church, and this app is an app that reads the Bible to you. But this app is a little differently. It's a little more creative. It's got some reading plans and some different features that you can use. But the point of it is that we can start bringing the Bible into our life in a regular and consistent way. While you're driving in your car, when you normally would put on some music or a podcast, you can use this app to get more of the Bible into your life. You can take some of those 72 hours and you could use this app to put it back into God's hands in your life. We have an account at Peter's Creek that you could use for free. Just go to the website, follow the instructions, and you can have it. But this passage that we're looking at in Proverbs tells us that one of the main ways that wisdom comes into our lives is by receiving the words of God and treasuring up his commandments. But this involves left foot, right foot kind of commitment in our life. Step by step, small investments over a long period of time sort of thing. Because when we commit ourselves to regular study of the Bible, we're not always going to feel like doing it. I have a friend who is using the Dwell app right now to do a yearly plan through the Bible, you know, the whole Bible in a year. And they just texted me last week and it said, praise Jesus, Leviticus is over. Have you ever read through Leviticus? That's like Bible hiking right there. But our continued efforts in the Bible over long periods of time will create a current in our life that moves us toward God and not away from God. Romans says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Constant exposure to God's words will renew and transform our minds to start seeing what God sees, to start loving what God loves, to start doing what God would do, and thus we become more wise. You see that? Let's go back to our passage in Proverbs. Another practical thing that we can bring into our lives, that will bring wisdom into our lives with it, is this. Take a look how it says that making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understand. Now notice, when it says making your ear attentive to wisdom, it means that you are not the one who is speaking the wisdom. It means you are hearing the wisdom, somebody else is speaking the wisdom. So the wise person is the one who hears wisdom from people other than themselves. We see this all over the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 12 says, but the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. We've talked about all of the ways that we can be foolish by operating our lives wise in our own eyes, but the wise person listens to other people, listens to advice. Chapter 15 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. In chapter 19, it says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. So when we put all of these together, it paints a pretty clear picture that wisdom becomes a part of our life when we allow other people into our life. So what we need is wise counsel. We need people that we allow into our lives to get to know us, to get to know how we are, to get to know how our life is, and we need to do this in a deeper way. Like, deeper than the highlight reels we put on social media. You need people in your life who know you. You know that joke where a guy gets stranded out at sea, and then he prays, God, save me. And then a boat comes by to save him, and he says, no, God's going to save me. And then a helicopter comes by, and he says, no, God's going to save me. And then the Coast Guard comes out, and he says, no, God's going to save me. And then he dies, and he says, God, where were you? Why didn't you save me? And God says, what are you talking about? I sent a boat and a helicopter and the Coast Guard. What about in our life, when we're praying for God to tell us exactly what to do? We're asking for him to give us signs, to point us in the right direction. What if God sent us advisors instead? People in our life who can speak wisdom into whatever situation we find ourselves in. People who can clearly see our blind spots. Have you ever noticed that we all have an uncanny ability to see very clearly what other people should do in their situation, but then in our life we don't? Why is that? Well, it's because, again, we are emotionally invested in us. And our emotions create blind spots. So we need other people to see through our blind spots. Now, these somebody else's that we need to bring into our life, they shouldn't be just anybody. If we're trying to make godly, wise decisions in our life, then the people that we should turn to need to be godly, wise people. People who seek after God's work in their life, people who are in God's word themselves, people who fear the Lord in their own life. We need those kind of people to tell us the truth and not what we want to hear. So, do you have people in your life who you turn to for wise counsel, who you know will tell you the truth and not just what you need to hear? And you might be thinking, where do I find people like that? Well, hopefully, here, Peter's Creek. We have a lot of things that happen apart from Sunday mornings. Things like Bible and life groups, men's and women's Bible studies, midweek classes. And one of the reasons we have these sort of things is to provide environments where you can meet people and interact with people and build relationships with people. So that over time, you can be around people who have the same beliefs and convictions that you do that can help do life with you. That can bring wisdom into your life, bring guidance into your life. So what that might mean for us is that our job in wisdom is to take a step. Maybe we need to join one of these groups. Maybe we need to put ourselves out there into environments where we can share life with people who can be wise counsel to us. Now, there's one other thing I want to point out in regard to this wise counsel point. And that is that we need to be the kind of people who are prepared to receive wise counsel. And notice how it says that we make our ear attentive to wisdom, but it also says that you need to incline our heart to understanding. Proverbs says that making our ear attentive to wisdom and inclining our heart might be two different things. It's one thing to bring counsel that we hear in our life, right? It's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to get it. But it's a totally other thing to take it to heart, is it not? Because a lot of times, what the truth might be something that we don't want to hear. And we need to be the kind of person who reacts in a way that will receive it. So let me ask a couple of questions pertaining to this. First, are you able to receive wisdom even when it comes from unlikely sources? You know the phrase, don't shoot the messenger? Sometimes wisdom is what we need to hear, not what we want to hear. And oftentimes when we hear something we don't want to hear, people like us get defensive. And one of the things that we do is we try to dismiss the message by dismissing the messenger. We do this kind of stuff. Like sometimes in my sermons, I will reference something and I'll say, one pastor says, but then I'll never tell you who the one pastor who said it. Actually, you ever notice that I do that? One of the reasons why I do that is not to not give them credit, but I'm trying to make sure that the message is delivered without any opportunity to shoot the messenger. Because there are some authors and pastors and theologians that once you see their name, you won't receive anything from them. But if what is said is true and wise and profitable for our life, shouldn't we be the kind of people who can receive that from anybody? Second question, are you willing to change your mind when another person's case has more merit? Now, I could have just stopped that. Are you willing to change your mind? Because if you're like me, then I can be the kind of person who will go down with the ship before accepting the truth. Like, if I'm playing cards, if you ever play cards with me, and it becomes clear that I am not going to win, I have been known to blow the game up so that nobody else can win either. A couple of weeks ago, we learned that is being a fool. But if we're serious about becoming wise, then one of the things that we need to do is prepare ourselves to actually accept that wisdom and be willing to change. Be willing to admit when we're wrong. Be willing to admit when somebody else has a better perspective. Because Proverbs says that the path towards wisdom in our life involves not only making our ear attentive to wisdom, not only surrounding ourselves with wise counsel, but being the kind of people who will take that counsel to heart. You see all that? Let's move on to the last way we can bring wisdom into our life. It says, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. What I want to talk about here is prayer. Calling out to God for insight and wisdom and understanding. In the book of James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously. So here we see that God tells us to ask him for wisdom. And if you're like me, this is not the area of life where I struggle with. Where when I need wisdom, I ask for it. When I need stuff, I ask God for it. So when there is something urgent going on in my life where I need God, that's when I find prayer easiest for me. God, get me out of this. God, make this stop. God, what do I do right here? Do you ever find yourself praying more when there's an urgent need in your life? But what about praying when there's not an urgent need in your life? If the path to wisdom is often left foot, right foot, small investments over a long period of time, regular, consistent efforts, is prayer one of those things that we do regularly and consistently? Or do we only find ourselves praying when there's something urgent going on? In verses like this one in Thessalonians, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Last week, we talked about how the will of God is more about someone to be than it is something to do. And this verse says that God wants us to be the kind of people who pray without ceasing. This doesn't mean pray every second of the day, but it does mean that prayer is a part of our daily life. Now, I could just stop right here and say, all right, see, you need to pray more. But you've probably heard that before. But maybe you haven't heard how you can practically do things in prayer to make it a part of your everyday life. Because when there's urgent stuff going on, we all kind of know how to pray through that stuff, right? But when there's non-urgent things in our life, sometimes we might find that prayer turns into a routine. We make our requests, God, give me this, this, and this. Thank you for everything. Amen. Because what else are we supposed to pray for? Well, maybe prayer isn't just for praying for stuff. If God's will for our life is to make us more and more like Jesus, then prayer, according to this verse, seems to be one of the ways that that happens. So prayer is supposed to bring about change. But oftentimes, if you're like me, the change in my prayer is focused on God. God, do this. God, fix that. God, stop that. You see how I'm trying to change God with my prayers? But what if the object of the change is supposed to be us? What if prayer is supposed to change us, to make us more and more like Jesus? Sounds exactly like this path to wisdom we've been talking about for the last month. What if every time we pray, we are changed a little bit each time? After a long amount of time, how much could we be changed through prayer? But how do you do that? Years ago, I was introduced to a way to guide times of prayer that was really helpful in my own life, personally. It involves praying through Scripture. And here's how it works. You open up the Bible and you start reading. Anywhere. You can open up to anywhere in the Bible. And as you are reading, you allow whatever Scripture you are reading to dictate what you pray about. For instance, take a look at this verse in Psalm 145. It says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." So what you would do here is you would just start with the first phrase, "The Lord is gracious." And then you would just start praying for all of the ways that God has shown grace in your life. And then you do things, the same thing with the word compassion and the phrase slow to anger and the phrase abounding in love. Steadfast love includes being faithful. So what you would do here is you'd pray about all the times in your life where God has been faithful to you. You think about all the times where God has answered your prayers in the past. You say, "God, I thank you that 6 years ago I didn't think that I could ever get through that. Yet here I am on the other side. You are faithful. God, I thank you for all the times where you showed grace in my life here and here and here and here." You know how kids pray at dinner time? "Thank you for the green beans and the mashed potatoes and the turkey." You know that? We can do the same thing in Scripture. We just let the words of the Scripture be the topic of our prayer. You see how this works? Now, I'm not saying that you have to do this. I'm just giving you an option that this might be a way to guide ourselves through prayer, because when we're doing this, what we will start finding is that we will begin praying for things that we never would have prayed of before. We start remembering things. We start thinking about things. We start focusing on things that we wouldn't normally do in the way that we typically pray. And after doing this, we will walk away changed a little bit. Because when you spend time praying about all the ways that God has answered all of your prayers in the past, then all of a sudden, you're going to look at what's happening in your life right now a little differently, aren't you? You're going to be changed by remembering God's faithfulness in your life. You see that? Now, however it is that you pray, I hope that prayer is one of those small, consistent things that you invest in over a long period of time, because that will eventually make us more wise. So just to recap everything that we've seen today, like we've seen through the book of Proverbs, wisdom is like being on a path, and the destination is going to be worth it, like that waterfall in the end. But in order to get there, we have to hike. Left foot, right foot. We have to invest in small things over long periods of times, and some of those things include regular Bible study, surrounding ourselves with wise counsel, and dedicating ourselves to prayer. And in doing this, the Bible says that wisdom will start becoming evident in our life. We will be more wise. Did you see that this morning? I hope these last 4 weeks talking about wisdom have helped you in some way, hopefully some practical way in how we can think about how we live and operate our lives. But the main hope is that we become the kind of people who, in whatever we do it all for the glory of God in everything that we do. Will you stand with me as I pray? God, we thank you that you have given us your word, and in your word we get to learn about ourselves. We get to learn about who you are. We get to learn about who we are. And God, we thank you that today we have learned that if we want to be wise, it doesn't happen overnight. But there is a way that you bring wisdom into our life. God, I pray that you would challenge us to dedicate ourselves to these small investments over long periods. God, I pray that we would become the kind of people who dedicate ourselves to being influenced by your word. That we would in our life, let your words, however we hear them, become the current that moves us toward you. God, I pray that you would bring wise people into our life, people that we can share in life with, people that we don't have to wear masks around figuratively, that we don't have to fake who we are, but people who can know the real us. God, I pray that we'd be the kind of people who would see them as a gift from you, that you can bring the truth into our life. God, I pray that we would be the kind of people who begin to know you deeper in prayer. God, I pray that we would change the way that we approach prayer, that it would be a way that we change, not a way that we change you. God, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.